guys, how you doing? Paddy here. Thank you once again for downloading the It's Not All About Me podcast. Good start. Won't edit that out because I can't be bothered. We've discussed that before. Welcome. I always start well, don't I? Welcome to the It's Not All About Me podcast. Thank you very much for downloading this show. So it's Christmas Eve. It's exciting. I'm excited. I love Christmas. It is a no matter what my health, it's a really fun, you know, time of the year. It's my favorite. I like Christmas Eve almost better than Christmas, you know, because it's all that excitement and there's bits to do and so I'm really hyped. I hope whatever situation you're in, whether you're walking around, finishing Christmas shopping on the bus, listening to this, or you know, if you're laid up in bed listening to this, I hope you're having the best day that you can. I thought this week, you know, I listened back whenever I edited last week's episode on coping with ME. I wasn't, you know, obviously I express frequently, put your phone on silent, Paddy. I express frequently how I'm not an expert, and as I record these episodes, I'm learning more, or I'm hoping to learn more off you guys too. So I listened to last week's episode and I got, you know, feedback from people whenever I posted it, and I thought I think we should do maybe a second episode on this and cover some things that I feel a little bit more able to talk about now, or things I would have liked to have elaborated a bit more on coping with ME, CFS. So that's what we're going to do today. But before we do that, let's do a little bit of housekeeping and thank yous. Gratitude is going to feature a lot in this episode. So let's start there. If you like the little ditty, the little music that plays at the beginning and the end, you can find that on the Free Music Archive, and it's called Feeling Sunny by Scott Holmes. If anything in this podcast makes you want to get in touch, or you just want to get in touch and say hi, Merry Christmas, you can reach me at itsreallynotallaboutme@gmail.com or on Twitter at @zeroallaboutme. So a few people did get in touch after last week's episode. Joan from Belfast in Northern Ireland got in touch and was talking about having, I spoke about gratitude, we're going to speak a bit more about gratitude today, and that's super helpful for her no matter what condition. And at the end, whenever she goes to bed at the end of the day, she writes down three things that she's grateful for in that day, which I think is wonderful. So thank you, Joan, for that contribution. We heard from the MECFS self-help guru at MECFS self-help GU, who says, I found gratitude to be a hugely important low energy happiness skill. I do a 10 finger practice at the end of my daily meditation, one thing per finger. So 10 things to be grateful for. And what I really like about that, thank you for getting in touch with me, ME self-help guru. What I really like about that is tying it into the meditation as well. That's a really good solid chunk of feel good, isn't it? So some things maybe to try, and some things to remind me to try as well. So we're going to talk about two things today on the back of coping and dealing with having ME, CFS, that have come up on the back of last week's podcast and from people's feedback as well. First thing we want to talk about is gratitude. Now, gratitude features, as I'm sure you know, in pretty much every religion out there, lots of philosophies have gratitude at their center. A lot of recovery programs have gratitude at their center as well. And it is, I think, for me personally, I do something similar to ME self-help guru. At the end of the day, I write down 10 things in the day that I'm grateful for, although somebody once pointed out to maybe try with that exercise 10 things I should be grateful for. if I'm having a bit of a trouble, I'm thinking of 10 things to be grateful for. So if I can't think, if I'm having a particularly rotten day, this friend of mine said, well, maybe try coming up with 10 things you should be grateful for. You know, starting with, you know, you've got a house over your head and running water. If I'm lucky to be in that situation, which I currently am. So it's two already, you know. So look, if you do anything to do with around gratitude, or if you want to try and put those things into practice, get in touch and let me know. So, moving on to the main chunk today. Quite a few people wrote back to me about pacing on the back of last week's episode. Now, I didn't mention last week pacing, really. Not in such overt, explicit terms. I don't think I used the word pacing, but it's hugely important, I understand, in trying to deal, live, and cope with ME, CFS. Now, I didn't talk about it because, as I opened this podcast by saying, and as I've said in every other podcast before, I don't really know what I'm doing here. I've had the illness for quite a number of years, but I know very little about it, and I know very little about living with it as well. And as you'll have heard from last week, my attempts to live with it have normally actually been in the extremes, haven't they? Either I did nothing for a year, or I ran a marathon. You know, pacing seems to me, as far as I understand it, to be living in the middle. You know, sustainable impact, sustainable participation in life. That's what I think it means. Now, I'm saying that's what I think it means because I still don't know. So what I thought we'd do today is a little bit of learning with Paddy. If you have the inclination and the skills, feel free to create a jingle for that. Learning with Paddy, what are we going to do? Well, I've got in front of me here a booklet produced by Action for ME, that is at actionforme.org.uk. And it's a pamphlet, a booklet called Pacing for People with ME. Now, I haven't read this. I know, as I've said, very little about pacing, what pacing is, how one paces, if I'm using that correctly. So I thought we could go through this together now, and anything that comes out of it, any little tips or tricks, then I and you can try and put it into practice over the next little while, and then we can come back to each other and see how it's doing, right? Now, again, I feel like a bit of an idiot here because coffee sip. I feel like a bit of an idiot here because pacing's a fundamental, isn't it? But I've never actually sat down and done this, and that's why, gratitude, I'm so grateful for this podcast because it steers me, it focuses me in actually taking action that maybe I should have taken years ago. Maybe this will help me. Maybe there's a fantastic answers in this brochure. So we'll, I'm not going to make this a mad long podcast because it's Christmas Eve, or at least it is, you know, on the day this is posting. It's probably not Christmas Eve for you now. It might be after Christmas. It might be years away. You know, it might be summertime. Who knows? You get ME at any time of year. But for us now, it's Christmas Eve, so I will be short or a normal length of show. So let's just see how long, because I'm not sure how long this booklet is. It looks quite big. But we're at about 9 minutes exactly now. 3, 2, 1, 9 minutes exactly. So actually it isn't, because whenever I talk about this, whenever I'm recording this, then I'll add the music at the beginning and the end, so it'll totally screw up. It's not 9 minutes exactly. It's whatever it is. That's a whole load of stuff you didn't need to hear, isn't it? Let's look at this pamphlet. Okay, pacing for people with ME. Read along. You'll find it at actionforme.org.uk. Okay, so we got a forward here telling us that, shall we go for the pronunciation? We haven't done it in a couple episodes. Let's go for it. Myalgic encephalomyelitis is a chronic fluctuating illness. It's also known as chronic fatigue syndrome, CFS or CFS/ME. Sometimes it is diagnosed as post-viral fatigue syndrome, PVFS. Okay, I'm not going to read every word of this. I'm just going to see what jumps out at me here. Okay, and pacing is a balancing activity and rest to help manage ME and work towards recovery. that's what we want, recovery. I will say now, obviously there might be stuff that I read. I'm reading off this document. I don't, you know, I haven't done, this is what I think a normal person would do, is they would look, Google, you know, and this looks like an official document, but I'm not saying that everything in here is going to be perfect. I'm not claiming responsibility for it. I'm reading this document as I go. So if you find anything in this objectionable, then, you know, don't yell at me. I'm just trying to look for help here. And we'll look at, if you come across anything, or if you know something that you think might be better or additional to this, let me know and we'll do it in the next podcast, all right? Okay. So, and right, so we've got the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, NICE, and they define pacing as energy management with the aim of maximizing cognitive and physical activity while avoiding setbacks or relapses due to overexertion. This is perfect. This is what we're after, right? The keys to pacing are knowing when to stop and rest by listening to and understanding one's own body, taking a flexible approach and staying within one's limits. Different people use different techniques to do this. Right, so obviously this is something I need because I've no idea whatsoever about how to live within my limits. We've established that. Do we need to know what ME is? Look, you know what ME, I know what ME, and I've said already, I've pledged next year I'm going to do an episode on the doctor's opinion, so we're going to leave that for now. We've talked about what pacing is, so let's move on. Recharge your batteries is next. Okay, so it's basically saying, look at your energy as a mobile phone battery. Spoonies will also, you know, have an idea on that. But mobile phone battery, if you drain it, you've got to wait to recharge it again. But if you only use a little bit and then regularly charge it, then your phone will always be ready to use. That makes sense. I like the idea of that. That makes sense to me. I can identify with what they're saying here, okay? So it's talking about managing energy through planned periods of activity and rest. See, what I tend to do is, I already see this is going to be useful, but it's also going to, this is going to be a fundamental change for me in the way I live my life, because I like to shotgun the work and then reward myself with a rest at the end. And I can see now that this is not the recommended way to behave. In fact, you know what? I just said that. The next paragraph absolutely reinforces what I just said. It says, it can be as important to understand early on what pacing is not about. It does not give you a free hand to push through activities, banking on rest and recuperation afterwards. Pacing takes an altogether smoother approach, right? So this is going to be so important. This is really good. For me, anyway. Okay. Now, this is probably going to tick off some people, as I've said before. It is talking about fatigue management and graded exercise therapy and CBT. We've talked about that before. We'll talk about it again. We're going to just skip over that. How can pacing help? We've talked about that. Stability versus the boom and bust cycle. It says that pacing obviously isn't a cure for ME, but by balancing activity and rest in a measured way, you're supporting the body's natural recovery process, stepping up your rate of recovery. That sounds good. And it says many people find that they begin to improve once they accept their illness. Acceptance. We've talked about that before, and we will again. If they understand how it works, well, that's what we're trying to do right now, and follow a realistic and achievable approach to getting better. Realistic and achievable. I've no idea what that looks like, so I'm looking forward to this. Okay, there's evidence here, but you can look into that, okay? Yourselves, you can do this. There's treatment results. Shall we look at the treatment results just a bit? We will look more at these kind of things whenever we look at the doctor's opinion in a few episodes. But if we look at Action for ME, now they did a survey in 2008, and they asked people about what treatments they get and how helpful they find it. Pacing tops the charts. 82% said pacing was helpful, and that's compared to 50% for CBT, 45% for graded exercise therapy, We also have pain medication, got 74%, sleep medication, 76%, mood medication, 64%. So, you know, actually pacing tops the charts here. With only, and this is really important, isn't it? Only 3% said it made them worse. And now that's compared to 12% for CBT and 34% for graded exercise therapy. So this is a fundamental. It doesn't seem like, it seems it's very unlikely that if we try anything we read today, it's going to make us worse, right? And as I said last episode, then why not? Let's try it. So that is really important. Right. Who can pace? Hi, do you pace? I pace all the time. That's a funny line. Who can pace? Anybody can pace. Okay, if you're newly diagnosed, you can pace, and if you've been ill for a long time, you can pace. Right, so it says words like gradual and slowly are vital in pacing. I'm going to find this very difficult, folks. I'm telling you already, but I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it, okay? It's important to establish your baseline, the level of which you can maintain a particular activity on both a good and a bad day. So that's really important. Understanding the basics. Okay, there's four key elements of pacing. Activity, rest and relaxation, establishing a sustainable baseline, and increasing your activity as you're able. So let's look at activity, number one. So the four basics are activity, rest and relaxation, establishing a sustainable baseline, and increasing activity as you're able. Activity is the first one. It's asking us to take a fresh look at activity, which we often associate with being physical, but actually it can be anything that uses energy. Now, I know myself, and that can be physical, mental, or emotional, right? I know myself, recording this podcast exhausts me. I've said that before, but this will be the one big thing I do all day. So anything that demands mental, physical, or emotional energy is activity, right? It says everyday activities might range from getting up and having a shower to watching TV or getting angry. Oh dear. Luckily, let's go back to the gratitude and meditation so that we can maybe reduce that one. I guess for me, activity, what would be the main activities I do? It would be this podcast. It would be then maintaining this podcast, like tweeting and checking emails and that sort of thing. So when I'm not actually, when the red light isn't actually on, I'm kind of tweeting and doing things like that. Preparing meals, I suppose. I prepare my lunch and breakfast most of the time. And then watching TV, playing video games, reading. Talking on the phone. Those would be my main activities, I suppose. Rest and relaxation. So that's activity. Essentially, it's reminding us that activity is anything that demands energy, which can be emotional, physical, and mental. Next is rest and relaxation. So we need short, regular rest periods throughout the day to give us time to recharge our phone battery. That makes sense, all right? And now it says for your mind and body to get real benefit, we need to be fully relaxed and properly resting our brains. And this might call for a new perspective on what we consider to be relaxation. So it's saying that for people who don't have ME, or for us before we got diagnosed, rest might be reading or watching TV, you know. But actually it's saying that for us to have healing rest, that we might have to actually be still and quiet as mentally as well as physically. So we might actually need to just take a chill and not have the TV, because that might be take up too much mental energy. And I can really identify with that. Some days I can't even focus on the television, so I really get what they're saying there. Now it does say, in general, it's better to avoid sleep during the day, as it might disrupt our nighttime sleep cycle. But obviously we also know that sometimes that's absolutely essential and not an option either. So that's rest. It's reminding us that rest is really rest, healing rest, as opposed to what we used to call rest. That's quite useful. I like that. Okay, so what's this establishing a sustainable baseline? A baseline is a level of activity that you can sustain on a regular basis. So we must be able to do the same amount of activity whether you're having a good or bad day. And once we establish that, we won't be tempted to do more on a good day or forced to do less on a bad day. So this sounds really important. I'm not sure how we're going to do this, but it sounds really good. And this is a really lovely paragraph. People usually find their starting baseline is considerably lower than their current level of activity. Your illness has probably forced you to give up lots of things, but you may still be trying to hang on to doing too much. Yeah, guilty. Got my hand up there. Absolutely. So we're going to find out, I assume, in a bit, how to establish a sustainable baseline. But that's what that is. And again, that makes sense to me. Increasing as able is the fourth part. As natural recovery occurs, you should find that you're able to increase your activity. It should be very gradual, and it should be initiated and controlled by you. All right. So, pacing and practice. Let's look at the area in depth. Activity, one thing at a time. Split activities into small stages with periods of rest and relaxation in between. Only attempt one activity at a time. That makes sense. So break them down into, whenever I worked and you'd be working on a project, you would obviously have the various elements of the project, and you could break it down into minute ones like send email, wait for reply to email, act on that. You know, there'd be stages to each project, and it might be worth looking at absolutely everything we do, I'm guessing, from this as a project. How can I break it down and take rests in between? That's really good. And even say, if I'm preparing something in the slow cooker for dinner, then maybe I can, do a bit of chopping and then take a bit of rest. Then go back and do the rest of the chopping. That makes sense. So one thing at a time. Energy use. Rate activities, it's suggesting, right? So rate an activity as low, medium, or high consumer of energy. I really like that. These things sound really common sense and simple now I read them, but it's about applying them in my life, right? Regularly applying this. I'm excited to do that because I think this might actually help me. I hope it helps you as well. And obviously, I'm going to put a link to this PDF on the Twitter and on the notes for this podcast. So if it's starting to pique your interest, then you can click on that link and find it yourself and work through it at your own pace. But I'm just working through it with you right now. And I look forward to hearing your thoughts about it as we continue. So energy use, rate it. Low, medium, and high consumer of energy. That's really good. Be energy wise. Look for anything you can do to make an activity easier and less taxing. It suggests soaking dishes first before washing them. Leave them to dry on the draining board before drying them. And that might change a high energy activity to a medium energy activity. That's really good. I am not energy wise. I've said before about having this issue with the illness where I don't want to ever feel like it's winning or beating me in some way. So I'm kind of stubbornly I wouldn't change my activities to make them easier. I would stick to what I always did, probably out of some stubborn pride thing. So that's actually really useful for me to be energy wise and see if I can do that. Let's see. And it's talking about doing a energy diary. And again, this is wonderful. Maybe I could say I wish I'd read this ages ago, but I guess now's the time for me to read it. I'm not going to regret not reading it. Obviously, I'm reading it now. But it says, don't just do the things the way you've always done them. Only stick to old routines if they're manageable. So it says, for example, if you get up in the morning and have breakfast, build a rest before you get dressed. and that activities that you might have previously carried out automatically, such as showering, drying your hair, these need to be included in your plan. All right, and then it talks about thinking about your available energy like money in a bank account, or as our spoonie friends would, you know, consider how many spoons you have. That was one of the first things used to describe my energy to me whenever I first got diagnosed, was the spoonie metaphor. So it's worth looking into that yourself if you're newly diagnosed or think you may have ME. It's a really, really useful way of not only understanding it, but describing it to others as well. Okay, this is talking about reviewing your priorities. Look at each activity, judge how essential it is, right? Can you put it off? Can you ask people to help you? Can you drop it? That's really good. And it's reminding us not to feel guilty. So that's really important, because I could feel that fear whenever I was talking about, you know, can I put something off, or, you know, but not to feel guilty, because it's important that we do the enjoyable activities as well. So that's good. And have balance. So it should be a mix of physical and mental activity, and you should deliberately alternate or switch between the two. That's really useful as well. Okay, so that's activity in a bit more depth. So that's one thing at a time. Look at your high, medium, and low energy use. Be energy wise. Can you change a high to a medium? Review your priorities. Can you change? Can you ask someone for help? Can you drop something? And then balance between mental, physical activities to the best of your ability. That's really good. That's activity. Let's move on to rest and relaxation. This is the one we've been looking forward to, isn't it? Okay. Good quality rest and relaxation. Good quality is essential, it says. People can have mini rests, though, lasting as little as 5 to 10 minutes. And it talks about you need to learn to switch off physically and mentally. And some people find it difficult to relax properly and feel guilty if they're not being useful. Again, I'd be guilty of that. And here's some techniques on how we can really get healthy relaxation as opposed to what we might have just previously described as relaxing. So make room for it. Put aside a time and a place. You don't need to go to bed, it says. Save that for nighttime. But find a place where you won't be disturbed, switch off the phone, let people around you know that you're going to take some time out, get comfortable, and be warm. It's winter time, for goodness sake, right? Learn breathing techniques. That's really good. I find that very, very important. I try and do that as part of my meditation. So, you know, look up a really nice meditation and breathing exercises. You can find loads of those online or in podcasts. It says to tackle tension. Think about a relaxing image. Have a picture of a kitten somewhere if you like. If you don't like cats, well, first of all, you're odd. But if you something relaxing. Relax tension in your muscles. Talks about clenching your fist for a few moments, then unclench it, and then that'll help you relax. So this might also be a bit of, maybe mention a little bit of perhaps of mindfulness going in there as well. If you've ever done any mindfulness meditation, might be good there. And it says to unwind. So gentle music, reflexology, aromatherapy, massage. Oh, we get to treat ourselves. Treat yourself. That sounds exciting. It's been ages since I got a massage, so let's treat ourselves to that, shall we? So that's relaxation. That's all. Let's go through that again. Rest and relaxation. Make room. So have a room, space, time. Tell people it's chill out time. Work on your breathing and your physical tension and unwind. Okay, so number three. Find a sustainable baseline and stabilizing activity. Now, this sounds really interesting. How are we going to find our baseline? Keep a diary. And there's an example of the diary in this PDF. So again, follow the link to get that. I think I'm going to do this. because at the moment I track, I think I said I track my symptoms every 2 weeks, and that's a percentage using a scale from the MECFS, an exploration of the key clinical issues produced by the ME Association on page 59 of that book. That's what I use every 2 weeks, but I don't keep a diary where, see, the, this is suggesting we keep a diary of everything we do, because then we can look back. If we're having a bad day, we can maybe look back 2 days ago and be like, there it is, that's what caused it, perhaps. But we can also see what we're capable of doing, whether it's a good day or a bad day. So I'm quite excited. I'm going to, there's bound to be in the rubbish lying around this desk a diary that I can appropriate. So I think that's a really good idea. Let's get a wee pocket diary, one small enough that you can have on you at all times. What are the journalist's pad? That you can fit in your pocket. Those are really handy. I'm going to pick one up today and write down everything. That could be really, really useful. So keep the diary until you spot a pattern or apply these principles in your head. Okay, so that's really useful. Let's do that from now on. So here's some techniques for working out a baseline of what you can do. The first is the 75% rule. If you think you can carry out an activity for 20 minutes, try reducing it by 5 minutes to 15 minutes, which would be 75%. The aim would be to maintain 15 minutes blocks of activity with interspersed with rest periods throughout the day. Or set it to 50, which is much easier. And then split the activity with 5 to 10 minute rest breaks. So basically it's saying the golden rule, though, is that your baseline must be set at a level that can be maintained on good and a bad day. And it does say, and I'm fully prepared to accept this, that it'll be disappointing to find that your baseline is lower than you expected. But remember that you're taking a step back in order to go forward. You know, we're talking about slow, gradual, sustainable impact and change here. So I'll repeat that. It might be disappointing to find your baseline is lower than expected, but remember that you're taking a step back in order to go forward. So let's get our diaries. Okay, that's going to be the homework for this week, it looks like. Get a diary and write down every activity. Rate it low, medium, high. And just do that until we can establish a baseline and then maybe cut that by 50%. That's going to be what we do this week. Once you've done that, right, and you know what your baseline is, so essentially remember, that's finding something that we can do every day, whether it's a good day or a bad day, how much time we spend on it, and whether it's low, medium, or high activity rating. And then give our bodies time to settle into that. And this can take a while, and then we're going to be increasing it, but for now we're going to stabilize it. And this could take months, remember. All right, but this sounds really good. So this is, I think, the most important part of today's learning with Paddy is A, keep a diary. Okay, and you can find a sample on this link. It's used by Frenchay Hospital in Bristol. That's Frenchay Hospital, Bristol. But it's also on this link that I'll be posting in the show notes and on my Twitter feed. So keep a diary. Calculate the baseline and then stabilize the activity. That's what we're going to be working on for the next few weeks, I imagine, okay? And that takes us then to increasing as able. That'll be further down the line. Once we've found a sustainable baseline, then we'll gradually increase activity by maybe adding a small extra task or lengthening an existing activity. But we're going to be doing it by 10% each time. So this gives an example, and this is why this is such a long-term thing. But, you know, if you've been ill, I know some people have been ill for decades, right? So if you've been ill for decades, it's worth taking our time, isn't it? Because if we don't try this, we're still going to be here, like I said, in 4 years' time, and none of us wants that. So if you were doing something, and once you get to the increasing stage, so you've identified your baseline, you've settled into it, and you're doing something for 10 minutes, then try increasing it by 10%, which would only be 1 minute. So you'd be doing it for 11 minutes instead. So that's small, but that's how we're going to slowly over time increase. And this is like training for a marathon. You know, you don't slap on the trainers, you go out and run 26 miles, do you? You start at where you're at, and you very slowly build up. And then, do you know what? You run a marathon at the end. That's how it works. Okay, side effects and listening to your body. So that was increasing as able, but that's further down the line, and it's talking to do it real small increments of 10% until it becomes the new baseline. All right. Okay, learning to pick up in the signals your body gives you and making sense of them is an important part of pacing. And it talks about you're likely to notice a temporary increase in fatigue when increasing your activity levels, but that's normal and you'll need a few days to adjust, right? However, if your fatigue and other symptoms have continued for a week or longer, it might indicate that you've increased the activity too quickly. So you've got to really learn to listen to your body here. That's really, really super important. Look at our subtle, non-physical messages our bodies are sending us. So it's not just pain or fatigue. You might be annoyed, stressed, losing concentration, angry. So look at these kind of warning signs and listen to them as well. And then it finishes this by saying set goals. Okay, so like if your concentration is not so great, then maybe set a specific reading goal. Choose a book and then build up in small stages. A couple of pages at a time, then a chapter, building in quality rest periods, or maybe a magazine or a newspaper, you know. Or as we said, if it's a physical thing, then walking to the shop. Make that the goal, but then the baseline might currently be set at walking around your house regularly. Okay, so if we start just walking around the house or the floor you're currently on, eventually we might be able to get to the shops, but establish your baseline with regards to whichever goal you want to achieve. So stumbling blocks, these are going to happen. We know these are going to happen. Don't take on too much. And remember that life is full of the unexpected. We had quite a lot of the unexpected this week in my household here. And I'll talk a bit about that in the end. But that's significantly set back my plans for the week. So absolutely. If you do have a setback, it suggests to ask yourself the following. Did I set my baseline correctly? Have I attempted to increase my activity too quickly? Am I pushing myself too hard? Have I taken into account all my activities, emotional as well as physical and mental? Am I resting properly? Am I getting enough good quality sleep or sleeping too much? And are my goals realistic? So think about those if you do have a setback. I know I'll be returning to that particular page because I can, you know, have that. And then there's some questions at the end, a Q&A section. But that pretty much brings us up. You can read through the Q&A. And then there's people with ME who have given feedback on pacing. There's people who've given tips on pacing. And then there is the diary, the NHS French A Hospital diary. And it's basically, it's really quite nice, actually. I would recommend you base your diary on that. It's basically got a timetable throughout the day. And you could put down sleep, rest, low demand, medium demand, or high demand activity and what it was. And then you'll begin in the little blocks. So I'm going to get myself, either I'll try and print off something like that, order one, or create a version based on this and photocopy that. That's really useful. I would recommend you look that up again. That is the NHS/French A Hospital diary. FrenchAy is French A. So what are we going to do? I think that's us pretty much wrapping up the learning with Paddy for this week. I hope that's worked. I think that's been okay. I'm certainly taking a lot away from it to sit still now to think about, have a wee rest, and then see about this diary. That's going to be my mission. So We've looked at pacing there. It makes a lot of sense, right? It's going to take time. My patience will have to be tested on this because I want things now, and maybe I don't give things enough of a chance to stick before either giving up on them or moving or trying to increase too quickly. So this is going to be good for me, but it will take patience. The first thing I'm going to do, and if you're going to do this along with me, then I would recommend we get a diary and we start logging everything, and that's absolutely everything that we do throughout the day, and that does include resting in bed or watching TV and for how long. And let's just do that for the next week or so, and then we'll see where we're at, and then we can maybe move on to establishing if we have a baseline or not. And yours will be way different from mine, but I'll share mine on the show, and perhaps you can write and share yours with me as well. And if you want to do that, it's at zero all about me on Twitter, or it's really not all about me at gmail.com. We do have a Facebook, but I'm in the middle of changing it. I've created a page. I think now I need it to be a group instead. So ignore the Facebook business for now. I'll get that fixed in the new year. So hit me up on Twitter, zero all about me, or email. It's really not all about me at gmail.com. And let's see how we do with our diaries. And if you have any experience of pacing, if you want to refer me to something different, a different approach, or a different plan, something that works for you, please get in touch with your experiences of ME, CFS, pacing, gratitude, and anything else that comes to mind. But for now, I guess you've got Christmas presents to wrap, and you've got people hopefully to visit or to visit you. I will say to finish off, this week we nearly lost a very close friend due to issues around mental health, poor mental health, specifically anxiety and depression. And back in the day in the 90s, Jerry Springer on his show used to finish every show by saying, look after yourselves and each other. And between the KKK members attacking lesbians and men marrying their horses, I think he was onto something there. So I will urge you to do that today, to look after yourselves and each other. Thank you very much, as always, for listening. I'm Paddy. Cheers.